Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Fox 10 Sports Podcast, along with two of my sons, Garrett and Gannon. I am Todd Fox, and unfortunately, Kellen is unable to meet again with us this evening. But we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. But I know, first and foremost, I know, Gannon, you've got finals week this week, right? So you're almost done with your sophomore year, correct?
Yep. Yeah.
Pretty excited?
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Good stuff, man.
Great insight.
Good stuff. That is one for the ages, for sure. But anyway, and then Garrett's still in Springfield, Missouri. You know, we're hoping, you know, move back, but he's still there. But anyway. All right. Here's some stuff we're going to talk about tonight. I know the Oklahoma City Thunder tip off here in about 2 hours in New Orleans. They're up 3-0. One thing that I just found out that the game, you know, is being played on, I guess, what is it, NBA TV or whatever, and it's not going to be telecast here in Oklahoma City. Unless I had Bally Sports, which I used to have, but I got rid of it, and I'm not going to get it for one game. But regardless.
What, you don't have anymore?
No, because the season's over, man. How was I supposed to know? You got your mic on?
Yeah.
Okay, can't hear you.
I can hear him just fine.
But yeah. Well, I don't think you can. I think you're just saying that. So my stuff's up to 100%. So anyway, how do you guys feel? Do you think the sweep's going to happen tonight?
Yes.
Their confidence is absolutely gone right now. Totally gone.
And ours is at like a perfect level.
It's not cocky. I would say it's at its peak, in a sense of not being cocky, but
exactly. But it's as high as it can get.
They have nothing to stop us at all. We have too many weapons. Dagnall's setting up the perfect game plan to
so good.
Try and let their players beat us, but they're not good enough. They never have been to win any kind of playoff round. But
I don't think Dagnall would let them get, you know, complacent, or, you know, I think that guy's just going to be all over these guys. And don't get me wrong, I mean, anything could happen and they drop a game, but I don't think it'll be because of complacency at all.
That's because Kellen was saying, like, just need to make sure they're not, like, getting too ahead of themselves. And that's what I said, is if we had Billy Donovan or Scott Brooks, I'd be like, yeah, that's fair. We might drop a game, maybe two, but not with this coach.
Yeah. And he was named the coach of the year as well. So, man, you know, like, what's crazy is a couple of years ago, however many, it's been 3 years or whatever, when he was named, I'm like, who's that guy?
Everybody's like, yeah. Oh, he's just a development coach.
We all were.
Yeah.
He'll bring him along for a couple of years, and then they'll get, you know, but I mean, this guy's like the real deal. I mean, he is the real deal.
Kind of like a Spoelstra kind of guy, honestly.
Yeah. He is. I'm looking forward to him for many, many years. But how do you think the game? I mean, I know I don't believe Zion's playing for sure. So either way, but that'll, still helps us.
Do you think it's going to be?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's funny because, like, you look at all the top performers in the playoffs, and Shea is probably not even really at the top of that list, but it's just, he doesn't have to be. He hasn't needed to be. He can be, and he was in game one when we really needed him to be, but, like, most of these players, like a Jokic, Anthony Edwards,
they have to play their best to be able to win.
Yeah, like, they're dropping 35, 40 points. The Luka was the other guy I was going to say, but I don't think he's had a 30-point game since the playoffs, which is fine.
I mean, he had 33 game two.
Okay.
But that was a blow. He didn't have to. He could have stopped it.
So, 20s, but it's funny just because I think that's going to be something that goes under the radar until we go deeper in the playoffs and everyone kind of realizes that, that he needs to. And also that even though he's probably only averaging like 26, 27, he's still carrying us. Chet, though.
Well,
Chet is.
Gosh.
I'm so happy to see Chet and Dort returning to that playoff form, but Chet's playoff form is just beautiful to watch.
He is perfectly built for the playoffs.
He's averaging like 3.5 blocks a game, pretty sure 20 plus points.
You talking about Chet?
Yeah.
He's got more blocks than all of New Orleans combined.
Yes.
So, and they just keep testing them. I don't know why. I'll leave the room for like 2 seconds. I'll see hear Lance laughing in the other room. He's like, they tried him again. They tried to get him again. And they just I'll come in and watch the replay. And
well, and they've shot like 20-something percent anytime they go in the paint on him, which is like absurd how low that is in the paint. And if they don't shoot it, they have to pass it out because they're too afraid to shoot it. It's like, oh, man, it's just...
It's beautiful basketball is what it is. Dort's a perfect matchup on Brandon Ingram. Brandon Ingram. Yeah. CJ's just trash, honestly.
Well, and one thing that's easy to highlight is the matchup with Ingram and Dort. He's, like, sticking to him like glue, and they don't know how to get him off. But our side of it, because Herb Jones is probably the best defender in the league for Shea, but we're finding ways to get him off of Shea. Like, the other game, he only attempted – only two of his shots were not on Herb, if that makes sense. But they can't figure out anything to get Dort off of Ingram, which is hilarious.
Herb Jones is supposed to be a defensive team one, or all defensive one this year somehow.
Really?
Shea's not even supposed to make one, which is unreal to me, but – but that's beside the point. I
think that Herb Jones guy had a couple good games early on against us.
He did.
Earlier in the season.
Oh, he for sure did.
But, hey.
He played really well against Shea game one, and then Shea, you play Shea too much, he's going to figure it out, and he's still going to get to his spots, and that's exactly what happened. So.
Yes. Yeah, it's going to be unfortunate. I can't see it here. I'll listen to it. What do I got to do? But I'm not paying to watch it. We shall see. I'm not sure if you guys been paying attention to any of the other. I know Minnesota swept Phoenix. I know who else is like the Knicks and Sixers. What is it? 3-1.
3-1.
The Clippers and Mavs being 2-2 is awesome for us.
We'll
it is.
Hoping we win.
We can get some rest. If we win tonight, yes. Rest
and Chet plays a lot better whenever he has a little bit of rest behind.
Yes.
Plus two, you give say
Chet's a big noticeable.
Say the Lakers win an extra one, push that game to six, and Denver goes into that game against Minnesota a little bit more worn out. I would not be surprised if Minnesota won that.
Yeah.
And then I love our odds against Minnesota, but especially I mean I love our odds against anybody. So. But no, we win tonight. Would be the us and Minnesota would be the only team to sweep, which I think would say quite a bit because Minnesota. I probably would have had the number one seed if Towns didn't get injured, in my opinion.
Yeah,
but
maybe yeah.
Sucks to suck, you know.
All right,
tough break.
Shea also missed like the last, I don't know, week and
like
a half
three out of the four or so.
Yeah.
Well, I know Indiana's probably going to beat up, you know, on the and finish that out against Milwaukee. And then Cleveland and Orlando, I think they're both tied at 2 as well. What's Boston? I know Boston gave up a game.
2-1 still.
2-1? Yeah. And they play tonight.
That'll be over in 5.
Yeah. So speaking of the Thunder, let me ask you this, because I know we kind of texted about it a little bit a few days ago. Rumor is, you know how the rumors go. I'm just telling you. And I don't know if this is fan-initiated or what, but possibility of KD returning to the Thunder. And you all were like, no shot, right?
Well, no shot it happens, but also no shot I would ever want that.
I don't think it'll happen, but right. I'd enjoy it.
He would ruin every bit of environment that we've built for 2.5 years.
In what way? He's a better...
He's a complaining little, like, dweeb who always has a problem somewhere.
Yeah,
do you think they would...
Dagnall's kind of a little different, so...
He's incredible.
Yeah, he is.
You're not going to teach an old dog new tricks, though. He's been in the league longer than Mark's been coaching since the G League.
Doesn't matter.
Yes,
I think Dagnall's like... I'm not putting... I think Dagnall's like, I don't care who you are.
Like I said, he's a dweeb. He's always found a problem everywhere he goes.
Here's the thing, though, is that
Golden State when they won, but even then, he still found a problem to have with Draymond.
I think we can all agree if he was even one to entertain coming back, in that meeting with Daigneault, Daigneault's going to tell him, you're going to be our fourth option. Are you okay with that?
And he's going to be all, and moments, and he's going to be a bum about it.
No, so I think cut you off, but I really maybe he will. Maybe he will be, but I think he would still take us to another level from a pure just scoring standpoint. Yeah, and he's a good defensive player. I think it would take some chemistry adjustments for sure, but
I do agree with you. He would. I mean, our roof ceiling would be through the roof. Like, we'd be so good, but we haven't ever had a team with this much actual chemistry. Like, they all are best buddies, and like,
yeah, he was also
in there, and I don't know how it would work with him. I do agree he would be incredible to add, like, talent and skill wise and everything, but
I just keep in mind though, all the other teams he's been on, most of the players he's been with have all always had that mentality of like, they're the number one, so he's always competing with another guy who's got that same mentality. Whereas here, like you just said, the whole team just care, all they care about is winning. If Dort gets 5 points or if he gets 30, he doesn't care. If Giddy, I'm not sure about, but Chet and J-Dub and Shea, like, they'll do what they have to do to win. We've seen Shea score low 20s. I don't think he scored less than 20 this year, but no, I think that's just a culture that it would take him a little bit of time to adjust to, but after an extensive time, he would be pretty bought in after he's seen wins after wins after wins after wins after wins. Because in Phoenix, that is not the case.
And that is true with the, like you said, the past teams, they were all the number one coming together trying to be the one. But did you see what he said about even like last night after the loss?
Booker,
like,
and Beal.
I'm not going to give context, because if I give context right now, it's going to be made up as excuses. It's like, he's always got some kind of problem. And I think he would battle for the number one role, even though there's not one, if that makes sense. Like, he would make up.
I heard that he, I heard or I read where he didn't feel like he was,
he didn't
played like in the role, offense, right. He was always in the corner and all that. So,
which I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't watch enough games to know if that's true, but either way,
he didn't play aggressive though. Like, now if I was him, I would want a bigger role than I had, but he also didn't look to try to be a bigger role. He was very passive this year. And like, didn't,
I thought he was passive whenever Westbrook was here. I thought he was a little passive, like, to Westbrook too. You know what I mean?
Puts on a front that he is like wanting to always have a bigger role, but he doesn't know how to do that really. And with Curry, he didn't have to, because they had four Hall of Famers, right. But I think it's a good point. Well, that's about even back when he was here, he would be a little too passive. Yeah. And it's like, no, dude, you take the ball.
My thoughts are like these teams that they try to put together, you know, I don't see it did work, you know, with LeBron, Wade, and Bosh. I mean, they were 2-2 in the finals.
Well, I was going to say that was still a underperforming team.
Well, it was underperforming, but it was also just adding LeBron to a championship team that already had won. That was more like Durant joining the Warriors than the Brooklyn, the Phoenix, whoever else has tried to do it recently, if that makes sense.
Well, the thing about like Golden State, like those guys, I'm talking about before Durant and all that, you know, they grew up together kind of like the Thunder.
And that's how Miami was when LeBron joined. So that was more like that side of just like adding just an absolute legend to.
And the way we're doing it, we've done it from the ground up. I love it.
Like Denver as well.
You know, and to be honest with you, I still think it was quicker than a lot of us thought. There's some teams out there that, like Philadelphia, for years were terrible.
Let's be honest.
We
got bailed that J-Dub's as good as he is this fast. Like, honestly.
No, yeah. I don't disagree, but I'm just telling you, I think Presti saw something. And the thing is like, I'm not giving up to myself, but I mean, I was excited when we got him too. I was like, I think this guy's going to be the real deal. I'll stop it. But I said, I think this guy's going to be the real deal.
Sure.
Also.
Yeah. All right.
Have you seen
think he would be?
But then also the flip side too. I mean, we all hoped and had expectations in a way, but the fact that Chet fit at just perfect. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we still have holes that we'd like for him to fill, but he's exactly what last year we were like, man, if we had him. If we had him, it would be a completely different season. But
and we're well, and
we did, I mean, in a way get lucky or whatever that he's good this quick, but we're also kind of unlucky that Giddy is not good. And like Poku pick didn't work. Zhang didn't hasn't really worked yet. So like in a way, in a different world, what I'm trying to say is you flip a coin. Williams isn't as great, but then those guys are really good. So we're still like.
You talking about Williams, Arkansas Williams?
No, I'm saying if J-Dub wasn't quite as good so fast, and another, like you flip a coin and one of our other picks works out and booms like he had.
Well, I mean, I agree. Poku, no. Zhang, I still think the jury's still, it's still out for him. I don't think he's going to be a superstar by any means.
I think
he could be a good role player on another team. I think he's got a little bit more, you know, to prove. I mean, he was like, I think he was the MVP of the
finals.
The G League. Yeah, the finals. Yeah.
I want to trade him somewhere that he can have a big role because I think he could be good.
Well, I don't want to trade him if he's
good. Yeah, what are you talking about? He'd be a perfect backup to J-Dub, in my opinion.
Is that Colin?
No.
No. But no, yeah, I agree. And the thing is, like, Arkansas Williams, I mean, I like that guy, too. I think he's a really good well, we said it a few weeks ago, a locker room type guy. And plus, he's not too bad of a player, to be honest with you. He's pretty decent. I mean, he's not a star or anything, but he's a good bench player coming off the bench for sure for us. But J-Dub is, oh my goodness, that guy's incredible. Did you guys get that text I sent earlier today showing like the you know, the thing is, there's always these trades and people say blah, 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 but, We trade two Brooklyn Nets, Dort, Kenrich Williams, two first-round picks and two second-round picks for Mikal Bridges. Is that something?
Heck no.
No way.
No chance.
Dort's almost more valuable in this spot right now.
I got you. This is like acting like it's some kind of a – I'm like
– That's crazy.
I don't know enough about him.
That would make sense if that was put together before we saw this season of him in Brooklyn. Yeah. Does that make – because his value dropped after this season.
Did it.
But – he's good, but no, I think Dort is more valuable for us.
His biggest value is availability because he hasn't missed a game in like 5 years, five, six years.
That's true. It's true.
Really?
He's played every game every season.
Which is close to his career. Is that not wrong? Might be wrong. But
No, he's never missed a game in the NBA.
Okay.
I was going to say, because he came out of Villanova, I believe, getting paid $20 million, $21 million, I know for sure. But so. Knock on wood, everything goes as planned. We win. Let's say we win tonight, and then obviously the Clippers and Dallas game has to get played two more games for sure. Do you have a preference on which team you'd rather play?
Dallas, mainly because I want to stick it to them.
But
I want to beat Lucas so bad.
They just scare me.
No, I want to beat them so bad.
What does scare you about them? Because everybody has
to turn it on, like. If Luka turns it on or whatever.
Luka's not a playoff guy. He's not a playoff guy.
He'll turn it on one game, and that one game will be like, holy smokes, probably lose. But to counter that, he'll have two stinkers, like he has been this whole series. And we would capitalize on those two. Then the other, let's say, two or three that he plays normal, we blow him out of the water.
My biggest thing is if Kyrie is one of those guys who playoff time's kind of a different guy.
True.
And he can single-handedly keep them in the game. Kind of he couldn't beat us, but he could single-handedly keep them in the
game. That's true. But people act like we match up bad or whatever. Like, they have nobody to guard our top two guys on offense. We have multiple people to guard their top guys as good as anybody can, if that makes sense. And I think we'd beat them.
It would make the rivalry between Oklahoma City and Dallas.
Oh, I'd love to kill
them. I would love it. But no, I would choose them mainly because – I do think we have a better chance of beating them, but also because I would love to be the team that knocks Luka out.
It would also be cool, though, if we face the Clippers because of the trade.
True. That would be a big talk.
Jalen Williams, who is the main pick of the thing, and then Shea. That'd be kind of cool.
I did not.
And if Kawhi was healthy by then. So it's like, because he was.
I don't want that guy, man. Whatever.
I think we'd be either team in five games. I think honestly.
You think the Oklahoma City crowd would welcome back Westbrook and
not during the playoffs
the same way they normally do?
Not during the playoffs. Yeah,
they would Westbrook. I bet.
I don't know.
You think so?
I don't think we would.
That guy.
Maybe not as crazy as they have been in the past, but I mean, maybe a little bit
for Westbrook.
A little bit more than a golf clap, but Harden, not.
That guy don't deserve any. I would say, I've been seeing a lot of stuff saying that Oklahoma City's got arguably the best playoff environment in the NBA.
Oh, easily.
Especially, I think the crowd barking with J-Dub just adds a completely new environment. Diego, I was talking to Diego because he went to a game, that game one, when they were all barking and stuff. It was loud. And everyone's just, you got a bunch of grown-ups just, I was like, that's crazy.
Did you see the clip, too, of whenever they were introducing New Orleans in our arena? They were all chanting OKC. You couldn't even hear the guy.
That's crazy.
They were all chanting. But I, put on Twitter because I saw it there. I was like, that's the closest I've ever seen any professional American sporting event look like. Like, that's the closest I've ever been to a European kind of crowd. And those
crowds. Because college can get that point. College can.
But not
pros. And we see it often. Yeah. But yes, yeah. Pros, I do agree.
It felt like a European.
The wide out.
Awesome. But I'm up to that's why I think we're easily the best crowd in the playoffs, is because it feels like a European environment more than any other crowd.
Well, the barking kind of reminds me of years ago, you know, Harden and the Fear of the Beard type thing. You know, that not the exact same, but I'm just saying kind of reminds me of the same type of thing. And that's pretty cool how they do all that. It's pretty neat. Did you guys see after game three, TNT or TBS or whoever it was going to interview?
There's a couple guys, right?
It was J-Dub
or whoever
J-Dub.
It was.
And Chet, I believe, too.
And then they're like, oh, sorry, hold on a minute. And they ran over to the little guy. Nick Gallo, I love that guy.
And she was clueless. Was she crazy. Was like, we got to wait. I don't know why. I got to go figure this out. And it just went. The whole team just, I was like, that's amazing.
That was awesome.
Absolutely great. You know, and it's cool how they did that. Because, I mean, that's who's been there through thick and thin. I mean, dadgum, putting us on some of these later games. And I mean, come on. There's no
it's not even.
There,
we had, what, four primetime games, if I'm not mistaken, roughly, like the whole season. And you're going to give San Antonio like 12? Like, come on, man. Like, whenever we got Chet and Shea, everyone knew Shea was going to take a step. We had, what, one last year? Yeah, maybe two?
One or two. I think it got flexed to two.
Yeah, it did, yeah. But completely agree. They had no faith in us this year. They didn't think anybody would want to watch us, and maybe nobody did. Maybe so, because you see in all the comments, nobody seems to have any clue what Shea's done this year. They just look at the stats, they're like, that's not good, as good as Luka. I'm like, okay, if this was stats, Westbrook would have like four MVPs in his career. Like,
yeah,
sure. I think, I don't know the answer to this, but I think I'm like, people that don't have a horse in the race or whatever, you know, most of them are probably rooting for the Thunder because they're just this new team.
Small market.
And they're like, you listen to Shaq and Barkley and those guys. They love these guys.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
Love these guys. It's great. Love it. It's good for us.
Wearing.
Who is that? Who is that? J-Dub?
Jalen Williams, yeah.
What a clown. Looks like it's something out of like Among Us or something.
It looks like Among Us. Anyways,
so I know I sent you this too. And Garrett hadn't seen it yet, but did you guys see the clip where LeBron's talking and he said at the end, you know, he's giving all these excuses and he's like, at the end, you know, it's just basketball. And then I've seen some clips, and what makes me mad is I can't find them right now on Instagram showing him do that, and then all of a sudden they switch to Kobe, and he's talking about being down 0-3, and he's just like, you know, I still believe we're going to win the series. I really do. We're going to win that. You know, we're going to come out. I mean, what do you think, Gannon? You don't like that,
people? You don't. Do you know what happened the next game with Kobe? They lost by like 27 or something, and he shot like 4 for 13 or like 5 for 20. I can't remember what it was,
but he's not getting up there saying, "Well, it's just basketball."
Well, the Lakers, LeBron just won this game 4. I do like the mentality of Bryant way more, obviously, but it's like whatever. Like, LeBron won, Kobe got smoked. It's like, I think he's a baby, but
he's a big baby. He's a punk, absolute punk.
I don't disagree. It's just like Kobe still got smoked, and neither team is going to win the series. But I wish he wouldn't resort to that so early, because it's like, That's something you say in the summer. I don't know.
We'll see.
But anyways.
He's just a wuss. Gary, anything else about the Thunder? Anything? Before we transition, ready? I don't know if you guys heard. I accidentally pushed it while ago, but an accident. I didn't know, like, if you punch this thing, it automatically played. I thought you had to push this other button, but all right, whatever.
Transition again.
So
do it again.
Let's talk a little bit.
We needed the transition, and then you go into it. Yeah. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Come on, man. Ready?
Three, two, one.
A little bit quicker. A little bit quicker this time. Ready?
Well, dude, what are you talking about? I can't
ready?
Go that
three,
quick.
Three.
Hold on,
two.
Hold on.
What are we doing? All right, ready?
Hold on.
3, 2, 1.
NFL draft just happened this past week. Pretty excited about the NFL draft. Caleb Williams, as expected, went number one. Daniels went number two. And Drake May went three. Am I correct on that? I believe I got all that right. And then Harrison was four. And then, like, Garrett and I did a little thing the other day, the night. And I think we picked 10 players. And then I don't know if I got anything right after those top four. I think I may have been wrong on all the other ones.
Yeah, I think
the only one I got right was that first round pick for Dallas was
Titan. Yeah.
Other than that, I don't think I got any of them correct. But Caleb Williams, we'll see. I hope he has I really do. I mean, even though he did, like I said last week, but I hope he has a good career with Chicago. They never have a good quarterback. Maybe, hopefully, they can have one now. We'll see how Daniels does. No clue. May, no clue. I mean, there's no clue on any of these guys, right? Harrison, I think, is probably one of the best football players in the draft. That I don't want to sit there and say he's guaranteed, but I mean, if you were to put
money
ask
on
me
one
bet
player
on
in this draft,
that's who I would put it on probably. But the Dallas Cowboys came away, which is pretty cool. They actually traded back with Detroit and they gained a third round pick, so they got Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma, which was hoping they would get. And I felt like, honestly, whatever pick they had at the beginning, Dag Gummit is like 24, I think, and then they pushed back to 20. Yeah. And I thought he may have been a little high at that point, which whatever, five different picks, but some people were disappointed. They didn't get Graham Barton, the center
Duke.
From Duke. But at the same time, I also heard that more people think he's probably going to play guard in the NFL.
Guyton?
But No.
Oh, the Duke guy. Okay.
Yeah, the Duke guy was more suited for a guard. So I think we did the right thing by Guyton. He's still a little bit raw, hadn't played a whole lot of college football games, but he's big. I think he's 6'8". He's length. Got long arms. I mean, he'll. I think that left side, hopefully, with Tyler Smith, is going to be something to bargain with for years to come.
Well, I mean, he's not going to play this year, which is good, because just give him a little bit of time to progress and develop a little bit more.
Who said that? Who said he's not playing?
We got Terrence Steele on the right side, who's, a well above average right tackle. So, and then
he's going to play left anyway.
Guyton? Yeah. And then they're going to have, I think Guyton will be, I think Tyler Smith will start at left. I think our third rounder, I think Cooper Beebe, I think he's going to start at left guard.
Nah, here's what's going to happen. Beebe's going to be the center. Smith is going to be the guard.
But Smith doesn't want to play guard.
Guyton's going to be the tackle.
Smith wants to play tackle.
It's not going to happen.
But then he's going to walk, and we're going to miss out on him.
I don't think that's going to – I think that's what's going to – I mean, I really do. I think that's what's going to happen. I don't think he's going to – I think he's going to stay a guard, and I think Guyton's going to be the tackle, and I think this BB guy, who I think is going to be a huge pick for
my favorite pick of the draft on Dallas is in for sure.
No, for sure. I don't know anything about the edge rusher from Western Michigan, Marshawn Nealon. Don't know much about him at all.
People loved it.
I know we got a line. Huh? Yeah, a lot of people liked it. And that's the thing.
I don't really know a lot about him either, but
what's going to happen is, I mean, at some point, like DeMarcus Lawrence is probably going to be gone. You know, I don't know how many more years he's got left on his contract, but he'll probably be gone.
We lost Doris Armstrong. Another defensive lineman as well. And so it was more depth, I think. But again, watching the clips, he looked more like a nose tackle size wise. I was like, that's kind of, not saying at all he's going to be that to that level, but mainly like also wearing the number 99. I was like, he looks a lot like Aaron Donald, like just body size and mass. But
wow. I didn't know he was 99. I didn't know they'd given that out.
Oh, no, he's not. I'm just saying that's what he wore in college.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We don't know numbers yet.
Yeah, he gave him the jersey number. But anyway, I know linebacker, how do you say his last name? Marist LeFou, linebacker in the third round. Fifth round, Kaylene Carson, cornerback from Wake Forest. Then a receiver from Southeast Missouri State. And then we got offensive tackle from Louisiana, defense tackle from Auburn in the seventh round. So I'm not sure how any of that'll work out, but I got faith in the team. I mean, I got faith in their drafting. They've done really well, except for like last year. Was it Mozzie Smith? Was that last year? I mean, yeah. I don't think he's turned out to be much, but then again, the jury, I mean, it's still not 100% sold yet. We got another year or two to see how he does. Overall, and I don't ever look at those NFL. I mean, I do look at them, but, you know, grades. I saw one grade that said they were one of the losers of first
day. Gave us like a D. I saw, yeah, same thing. I saw one that gave us like a B plus. I'm like,
nobody knows. Nobody. I mean, you can kind of have an idea. Like, I think Chicago did pretty good. I think Arizona did.
Arizona did really good, yeah.
You know, but I mean, that's what I'm, you just don't know. It's 2 or 3 years out before you really even know truly on what you got. And then I don't know if you guys both saw Zeke is returning to the Dallas Cowboys. I guess the fact, I mean, hey, somebody knows our system, knows the team or what have you. So it's not too bad. I mean, he's obviously not going to be the running back he was of the past. And what's amazing, we're paying him more from his old salary than we are his new salary. So we're paying $6 million from his old salary when we cut him and only $3 million for this new one. So he's making nine total from us, but it's just
Jeez. It's
messed up. Any thoughts on him coming back? Is it bother you? Are you happy?
I'm happy just because I sure as heck didn't want, was it Royce Freeman being our starting running back? Like,
okay.
I didn't want that. That's not going to get us anywhere. And I mean, yeah, Zeke's not going to be the same, but he's better than him. And he had a pretty solid year at New England as the second option. So I'm excited for it. It buys us another year to wait because I think next year's running back class is going to be pretty solid compared to this year's. So not that I want to pick one in round one or two, but
yeah, that's the thing, you know, unless it's like, I don't, and that's what I'm saying. Like the last big running back taken high, who was that? Saquon?
Bijan.
Maybe. Well, yeah, you're right. Bijan and then Saquon. And then, I mean, but in my opinion, they got nothing on like an Adrian Peterson, who was a sure thing. Of course, that was many moons ago. I think it was 17 years ago today, actually.
2007. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, and he was a sure thing. I don't know if you're going to see a whole lot of those kind of running backs come out. I mean, you'll see them every from time to time, but I don't think you'll see many of them as much as we used to, unfortunately. But he was like, you knew he was going to be a beast for sure. And I think he was picked number 7. I mean, and you guys were little guys and we were in Iowa whenever he got picked. Weren't we? Were we in Iowa?
Yeah.
Was that 2007? Yeah, we were still in Iowa. And I remember like being pumped up and we, you know, I always have these other couple teams that I root for. And Minnesota was the team whenever, because Peterson went there and we seemed like we saw him make a lot of long runs that first couple years, a lot of them. But Zeke is returning to the Dallas Cowboys. Drake Stoops signed a free agent contract with the Rams. Not sure how you feel about that. I think he's got a shot. I really do. I don't know how he's got a shot with the Rams, but I think he could be a fifth option punt returner or anything, something like that along those lines in the NFL, because he's got a motor on him and he'll keep going. He's got heart, but
it just sucks because I feel like Puka was a replacement for Cooper Kupp, and I feel like Drake's. I mean, he's not nearly as the same talent wise, but I feel like he's kind of the same model and position as those two guys. So I don't think he has much of a chance to play any at all. But
do you not?
Nah,
I think he's. I don't know. We'll see. I hope
because. Well, I hope so, but.
Fantastic, college player, fantastic attitude, fantastic, like he's the kind of guy that's just going to go and get you what yards you need, except for, you know, that last pass against Oklahoma State, but it wasn't on him all. Does that make sense? What else is going on with you guys? Sports wise, anything?
Falcons made the worst pick of the NFL draft in probably, probably my lifetime. Yeah, honestly.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
I
was surprised. I mean, like we were like, whoa! Like
I just don't. I don't understand it. Like, why sign Kirk? Everybody and their mom knew Penix was going to be there at 8. Everybody. So why go out and sign a quarterback when you know you're going to get a quarterback that you're obviously obsessed with? That makes no sense to me. The only value outside of like hoping they're good, obviously, of drafting a rookie quarterback is having a rookie quarterback contract. But you've completely botched that by paying Kirk Cousins $50 million a year. Plus, say for whatever reason, Michael Penix doesn't beat out Kirk Cousins in the next couple years, which I don't think he will. He's going to be 28 by the time Kirk Cousins is done in that contract. And so you're going to toss a guy in there at 28 and get another maybe good 5 years maybe out of him? That makes no sense to me. You have a good offense with Kirk Cousins. You have a lot of holes on defense that you needed filled to be able to almost make it a surefire win of that division, and you screwed it up so bad, so bad. You could have the best defensive player, any defensive player you wanted at 8, which ended up going all the way to 15, but made zero sense to me.
All right, so I'll play devil's advocate because I love doing that, right? By the time season starts, he'll be 36 years old. Kirk Cousins, 36 years old, not really that mobile, coming off an ACL injury.
Achilles,
that's what I meant. So he comes off of that injury. We don't know how much better he's going to be, if better at all, or not even better. I mean, just how he's gonna play, how that's gonna affect him. They go from one of the worst quarterback rooms, maybe to one of the better quarterback rooms with having Penix as a backup to learn from him. If Kirk Cousins does go down, they've got somebody there to possibly take over in Penix. I'm hoping, but the thing is, my biggest concern on Penix is his health too, is his knees. So we'll see how he does. I don't know, but I still think it's a head scratcher in a sense. But I also heard that the Raiders were going to get him.
Let him have him. You got Kirk Cousins. You're paying $50 million a year. There's going to be another quarterback prospect better than Penix. That's for sure.
What happens if Kirk Cousins comes back and he's not the same?
He's not a quarterback that uses his legs, like you just mentioned. He doesn't need it. He's a pure pocket passer. That's not going to affect his arm by any means or his decision making. He'll be totally fine on that aspect.
All right. We'll see. I know. We'll see. It'll just be very, very
interesting. And say he's not the same. Oh, man, you sucked this year. We got a top 4 pick next year. Let's go pick up the best quarterback in that class.
So I don't know who that's going to be. Quinn Ewers?
Yeah.
Who's that
going to be? Top ones right now, ranked wise, are Shedeur Sanders, Carson Beck.
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah.
And then Quinn.
No,
but
Beck, is he? Where's he?
Georgia.
From? Georgia. Yeah, that's what I thought. Wow. Huh. Well, you never know. We'll see. It'll be interesting. I agree though. I mean, I thought it, like a lot of people thought it was a head scratcher. Why do you go out and pay Kirk Cousins this kind of money? I do not know, but they made that choice. I don't know if you saw the video of the owner and the general manager talking. It's like almost like he was trying to explain to him
reason on why he did it. Yeah.
But that's good for Kellen. Kellen's in Atlanta, you know, all those games he wants to go to. So
he'll never see him play.
What are you talking about? You don't know. Huh? You don't know.
No, I'm saying Penix is never going to get the field.
He'll be good. Yeah.
I just have a
feeling. Here's the thing. If you are on anybody's radar until you're 24, you're not going to be any good. So same with Bo Nix. Bo Nix is that guy in any other class is probably going third or fourth round. Because in my opinion, the top three quarterbacks this year, arguably the best three quarterbacks as a trio we've seen ever. But after that, I'm not touching any of those guys.
Sean Payton is in love with Bo Nix for whatever reason. I don't know. I hear what you're saying, but he said he came away from him, his interview with him and his little workout with him, and came in and sat in the car and was like, wow, wow. Like, of course he's going to say that and he's going to sell it, right? But I hope the kid makes it because I like it. He seems like a good kid and I want him to do well. I'm not the biggest fan of the Broncos, but I'd like them to beat up on the Chiefs if possible. But I still think it's way too high of a pick, but somebody was going to take him. That's the problem with the NFL is like these guys get overvalued and like that. I mean, and like quarterback for sure, 100%. But yeah, Shedeur Sanders next year, man. I forgot that he would probably be number one. We shall see. I know Dallas is going rolling the dice with Dak this year, so I don't know how that's going to work out. And hopefully they can't pay him a whole lot of money for average quarterback play, in my opinion. But hey, that's me. What else you got?
Not much.
Really? Okay. Well, tell me the five, rank them, your five top fries, restaurant, like a fast food joint fries, French fries. Who's got the five best?
I'm going to go Chick-fil-A.
Number one?
Yeah. I love the waffles. I'm going to go Arby's, curly fries specifically.
Curly?
I'll go McDonald's. And then Freddy's.
So small.
I love them. Though. I can't.
I feel like a giant trying to eat these little.
And then probably things. Five Guys. Is it Cajun fries?
Yeah.
We got Five Guys Cajun fries. Say that five times fast. Don't actually. But.
Yen, what are you got any thoughts?
I'm thinking. I'll have to kind of think as I go. But I was gonna say Freddy's one.
Number one, they're good, but my gosh, well, dude.
Here's my thing is
they're too small.
I can't eat Chick-fil-A fries without the sauce, so I don't actually know if those are even good by themselves.
They're pretty good without the sauce.
I believe it.
They got to be like, hot.
For
they
me, I don't have the
which is why McDonald's arguably could be number one because you true, never eat McDonald's never fries without there, with sauce.
Which is, I am putting them two. Chick-fil-A three. There's a place in Searcy. Four. And then Arby's five.
You're just not going to give us the name of this apparently place with David's. Magical fries?
David's.
What? David's?
David?
Yeah.
Stop. Get out of here.
The heck?
No, whatever.
Well, they're good, but they're also just endless, so I don't know.
Who's got some good crinkle cut fries?
You know who? Crinkle wait, somebody, cut? Somebody.
You know, they got the little.
Oh, ridges? Brahms. Brahms has some good fries.
Brahms, that's what I was
thinking.
They're fine. Brahms. I went to Sonic. I didn't get fries, but one of my friends did, and they had crinkle cut, which I think that's new. But they weren't bad.
Yeah, I've never seen that.
But they weren't bad at all. Oh, Culver's has some good ones.
Culver's does have some good fries. Yeah.
If you want crinkle cut, because they're crinkle cut, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
You can throw those in there.
Man, dude, now I'm going to have to go get some Culver's tonight. Oh, gosh, dang.
Do you remember when we had Culver's?
You got it, don't you? Oh, yeah.
Our suits for Kellen's wedding. Do you remember when we got Culver's then?
Oh, yeah. We were, we mauled that thing so fast. We were like,
I've never had in my life.
I think I literally was like,
no, it really was.
I always see this on the top of the fast food rankings. I'm like, I don't remember it being that good. So me and Gam were like, yeah, just get a butter burger or whatever. And then we hired it. We're like, oh,
it was so good. Like,
just chowing that sucker down.
Where was I? What are you talking about?
Me and Gam, we were going left the venue. Like the
wedding venue. Yeah.
To go to, like, it's right across from Lambert's. We go to Culver's.
Pick up the tuxedos.
Yeah.
Helen's wedding. It was an hour away.
Okay, I thought you were saying you're at the wedding. Okay, I was like, I don't remember there being a Culver's.
No, it was right across from Lambert's. But yeah, dude, that was
me and Gary. Oh my god, this is good.
Even their root beer was good.
Their root beer is good. Yeah.
Man,
you just made my dinner plans for me.
Yeah, no root beer for me. No shot. No chance.
That's all right.
But no, I agree. I mean. You guys are pretty much right on target on kind of the fries that I was thinking of. I love Arby's.
Curly's.
Curly fries, yeah. But dadgum. I mean, I haven't had Arby's. I haven't had one in probably 5 years. But then I love their potato cakes. What are you laughing at?
I was just thinking about Arby's. Like, nobody goes to Arby's.
Huh?
Yeah, hilarious. Yeah.
Like, it's just funny. Like, I'm not going to go to Arby's.
Just for the fries.
I'm not asking you to get Arby's, but I'm just saying that's just the potato cakes are my favorite, so but whatever.
Is that a form of fry?
Huh?
Is that a form of fry?
I mean, it could be, but I don't consider
a potato cake.
Then I don't know why you're mentioning it.
Yeah, well, get that out of here.
I've always got to plug that in because I want to.
Well, are they paying you?
They are actually. They're one of our folks, along with these folks here. Hold on.
What the heck was that?
It says Riverside FM tune, so I figured it would be like Riverside FM, you know, Riverside.fm or something like that, but it didn't do anything.
It says
so
tune. It usually means music.
True.
Well, how am I supposed to know that? I don't know that. You're
a clown.
Ha 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 ha. Funny. All right. The Fox Den would like to thank everyone for listening to our podcast, taking time out of your day to spend some time with us. Reminder, we are on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to our channel. It's free. Subscription's free. Subscribe to that at Fox Den Sports Podcast. We're on Facebook, Fox Den Sports Podcast, or is it just Fox Den Sports? I think maybe Fox Den Sports. I don't know. I'm so confused. We're on
everything.
Which one do you do? You do LinkedIn? No? Whatever. LinkedIn.
Just look up Fox Den Sports and you're probably going to find it on whatever you're looking for. So.
Hey, so there is somebody, a friend of mine told me last week that they tried to get on the link on Instagram, and they clicked on the link because it says like YouTube and nothing came up. So need to fix that so folks can jump on there and see quickly.
Huh.
But hey.
Yeah, you're right.
Interesting. Just want to thank everybody. And iron sharpens iron.
Please stay safe.
Be savage, not average.
And remember to join the skulk. And until next time, goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Boomer.